Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from the appointed Old Testament lesson today, especially beginning at verse 13. And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, "Behold, the words of the prophets with one voice are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." And when he had come up to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" And he answered him, "Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But the king said to him, "How many times shall I adjure you that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And Micaiah said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the mountain as sheep without a shepherd." The Christian man, businessman was in a pressure situation. His boss had ordered him to close a certain business deal and to act unethically in doing it. He knew that it might mean a promotion, and he desperately needed the money to support his family. What would he tell his boss? The new pastor in a parish felt the pressure too. He was visiting a delinquent member who ranted and raved against his former pastor. The former pastor apparently had called him to confess his sin and to repent, lest he come under the judgment of God. He wasn't such a bad person. Other members in the congregation were worse. He finally said to the new pastor, "I sure hope you're better and more likable than that other guy was." Another pastor found himself in the same pressure situation. His congregation disagreed with his close and close communion practice. Why did he have to be such an old fuddy-duddy? Other pastors in the area practiced open communion. This pastor desperately wanted to be liked and accepted by his people. Every bone in his body was urging him to compromise the word of God. Would it be so bad to loosen his communion practice? These kinds of situations happen every day. People want to be liked. You want to be liked, and I want to be liked. And there's nothing wrong with that. Heaven forbid that there should ever be a pastor who wants to be hated by his people. And it's important that we always deal with people in a loving way. That always needs to be emphasized. Nevertheless, the temptation is always there to compromise on the word of God. The number one virtue in our permissive society today seems to be tolerance. Tolerate all views, all opinions, all beliefs, all behavior. Affirm the other person regardless of his behavior or belief. And as we see more and more of Christendom compromising the word of God and tolerating all sorts of doctrines and practices, the temptation will increase. Go the way of least resistance. That is the constant refrain of your old Adam. Micaiah felt the pressure too. The time was about 850 B.C. The place, Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom. Ahab's 400 prophets were prophesying and promising Ahab peace, prosperity, and success. "Go up and take Ramoth Gilead. The Lord is on your side," they said. They were B.C. success theologians, you might say. The messenger summoned Micaiah and said, "Behold, the words of the prophets with one voice are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak favorably." No doubt Micaiah felt the pressure to conform. It was 400-1. Who was Micaiah that made him so smart? And judging by Zedekiah's actions, these prophets were probably quite sincere in their views. And there would probably be material benefit for Micaiah if he sided with the king. At least he would not have to face the prospect of imprisonment. He probably remembered Elijah and wasn't too excited about going through those same kinds of hassles that Elijah went through with Ahab. But in the face of that pressure, Micaiah replied, "As Yahweh lives, what Yahweh says to me, that I will speak. As is the case with all true prophets, Micaiah had overheard the decree that Yahweh had made in his heavenly council. So Micaiah wanted to be faithful to his calling and faithful to the word of God. Micaiah also knew how important it is to speak the truth. It is a matter of life or death. Ahab's prophets were telling him to go up and take Ramoth Gilead. Micaiah knew that that meant death for the king, and all Israel would be scattered like sheep without a shepherd. That's what false prophecy does. It's no trivial matter. It brings death. It scatters God's people like sheep without a shepherd. As Ephesians 4 says, Christ gave the church pastors so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So Micaiah preached the truth and called Ahab to repentance. Our text calls us to repentance too. We, like Ahab, want to hear promises of prosperity and success. We, like the prophets, are tempted to compromise on the word of God. We, too, are called to repent. But God does not desire the death of a sinner. God wants to give life. God, in his heavenly counsel, before the foundations of the world, determined to do something about it. In the fullness of time, God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the prophet, the one who was greater than Micaiah, the one who was literally in the heavenly council. Jesus Christ came and preached the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease, as our gospel lesson tells us. He did that in spite of enormous pressure not to. He was the Word made flesh, who had come to die even. As Jesus himself prophesied, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the chief priests and elders and scribes and be killed. Thank God he did not cave in to the pressure to compromise on that. Jesus Christ was the greater prophet and the greater shepherd king, who laid down his own life for the sheep. He died so that the scattered sheep might be gathered and might be brought back to God. He took upon himself the punishment of death and hell, which all the Ahabs of the world deserved, including you and I. He died so that all the Ahabs of the world might have life. And his resurrection proves that he is the victor over death. By his death and resurrection, he gives us and has earned us life. Now, through the gospel, our prophet gives each one of you life, the abundant life, eternal life with him. Through the Lord's Supper, he gives you his very body and blood, which he sacrificed for you and for all. He gives you a foretaste of the feast to come, when we will all be gathered together with all of his saints and prophets and angels and gloriously worship him forever as the Good Shepherd. And so may you ever thank and praise him as the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for you. The Christ who called his disciples to follow him is the same Christ who calls you to follow him, to be his faithful prophet, to speak what the Lord says, to proclaim the whole counsel of God. He declares the decrees that he made in his heavenly counsel, which are now revealed in Scripture. We too are to preach the law. We, as repentant sinners, call other sinners to repentance. But we too desire not the death of the sinner. We want to see all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we are called to preach the gospel of the kingdom, the good news that in Christ God's gracious rule has gone, the good news that our shepherd king laid down his life for us. So may Christ, our prophet, enable and empower you to say with conviction the words of Micaiah, "What the Lord says, that I will speak." Amen.